Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Our limud of halacha every day is as a schus refuah for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav refuah shleima b'kor, b'soy shal chol Yisrael. Boss? Yeah, he's in America. And
he corresponded over this missing shear.
Yeah.
It's a good sign. He's with us.
He's with us. And boss? So, we were speaking about Chodosh. We said that Chodosh, well, we haven't said it yet, but Chodosh applies to the five Minei Dogon. Right? The five Minei Dogon, the five types of grain, which are barley, rye, oats, wheat, and spelt. Right? In English, the word browse, B-R-O-W-S. Yeah? Interesting, I just replaced my Marmite after Pesach. Marmite contains four out of the five grains. Marmite contains barley, rye, oat, and wheat, but doesn't contain spelt. Okay, but it's spelt exactly. It's spelt Marmite. Of our kolponim, so if you ever want to remember that at least four out of five, just look on the ingredients on the tub. So Chodosh applies to those. What is the din of Chodosh? Chodosh is pshat that the Torah said that each year. Sorry. The Torah said that each year, any produce that has taken root, any produce that has taken root by the day of the Omer, right?
Press five.
Yeah. Is puttered by the Omer. In other words, the Korban Omer was brought on Tez Zayin Nisan. And therefore, anything that had taken root by that date, the Korban Omer permitted you to eat it. Until then, it was Chodosh. And you were not allowed to eat it. Came along the mitzvah of Ha'omer, or Bizman Azeh, the day of the Omer. And the day of the Omer is Mate Chodosh. Now, what do we mean by taken root? You know, how do you define exactly where it is? Samach Loikas. Right? Most poskim hold that taken root means that it took root at least 2 weeks. It's been planted in the ground at least 2 weeks. So therefore, if it was planted on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then it's been in the ground for 16 days. That's called taken root. And therefore, anything that was planted before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, or up to, let's say, Beis Nisan, anything that's planted up to Beis Nisan, has been in the ground for 14 days, has taken root, kumt the korban oimer, and is mate. Anything that was planted after Beis Nisan, it's called Chodosh, and anything that grows after then, anything that takes root after the Havoas HaOmer, is going to be Chodosh until next year. You're going to have to wait till the Omer of next year in order to be Matir, the anything that grew after the 16th of Nisan this year. So in other words, 16th Nisan was the first day of not the grew, be careful, yeah? Not the grew, but the took root. So anything that took root after the 16th of Nisan, that was planted after Beis Nisan this year, is Chodosh, and you're not allowed to eat it until next year on the day of the Omer. Next year, Miyat Hashem, there will be a Beis HaMikdosh, and we'll have Havoas Omer, the Korban Omer. Then if the Korban Omer is brought at 11 o'clock in the morning, then from then onwards you can eat, Chodosh. And that's why, right, that's why now, Baruch Hashem, because it's become publicized and it's become known, and also because of computer tracking, they know pretty much on each batch of flour or on each batch of cereal or all the batches, they're all computer traced. They can tell when they were planted. They can go back, everything has a history, they can follow the history through on the computers, and they can find out when something was planted. And therefore, the Kashrus authorities know today what is Chodosh and what isn't. What was planted after the 2nd of Nisan and what wasn't. There is a second shitta which holds that it only takes produce 3 days to... It only takes produce 3 days to take root. In other words, once you plant, as far as we're concerned, once you plant something in the ground, not 2 weeks later, but 3 days later, it takes root. Is that Rashi's shitta?
No, it's 3 days.
Okay. So you're saying that shitta's Rashi? I'll take your word for it, I think you're probably right, but I know that certainly one of the shittas of the Rishonim is that it only takes 3 days. Then, anything that was planted before the 15th of Nisan would be Yoshon, would be old, and therefore the Omer would be Matir on this. Anything that's planted on the, before the 13th, right? Because the Omer is on the 16th, right? The day of the Havos Omer was the 16th, first day of Chol HaMoed, the day after the first day of Yom Tov, and therefore, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, for us it would be the second day Yom Tov. So therefore, anything that was planted more than 3 days earlier would already, that's more of a heter. Anything that was planted 3 days before Yom Tov, then the Omer would already be matir that produce, and you'd be allowed to eat it from then onwards. But I think we paskin, I need to check it out, but I think we paskin that the 2 weeks
Magid
is the...
Magid Shear's on his way now.
Huh? The Magid Shear's on his way, okay. So I think that we paskin that... We paskin the 2 weeks, and therefore anything. Well, so anything that was planted
before the second of
Nisan is Yoshon, right? Comes along the Omer or the day of the Omer, and says this Yoshon is now mutter to eat, right? But anything that was planted less than 2 weeks and hasn't yet taken root by the day of the Omer, that's called Chodosh.
So we can't eat the whole year's product.
That's right. Correct. Yeah. Right. So therefore, as I said, the and again, the Rabbonim know today, the Kashrus authorities, they track these things and they put out notices from time to time saying that certain batches of flour, certain batches of cereals, and there's something else as well. But flour, cereals, porridge, oats, there's also a cereal, yeah. Anything like that, they can trace. They know when it was planted, and they know what is Yoshon and what is Chodosh.
They have to store the wheat for a whole year,
yeah. Don't forget, if you've planted it, I don't know when it is, but I'm not a farmer, but if you planted it in Nisan, I presume that you would actually, the Chag HaOsif is Sukkos, so it probably takes a whole of the summer to grow. Chag HaKotzer Shavuos, Chag HaOsif, when you gather it into the storehouses, right, is Shavuos, is Sukkos. Yeah, so they did. During the late summer, they would reap. Yeah, they would reap and they would harvest and they would put into storage the wheat, and that storage would remain, yeah, as Chodosh until the Korban Oimer until the following Korban Oimer. And therefore, anything that's planted between this Nisan and next base Nisan is going to be, that means anything that's planted now, let's say, from after Pesach until next base Nisan is going to be Chodosh until the Havos HaOmer or the Yom HaOmer. That's next year, Tovshi and Pei Vov. So something that's planted in Tovshi and Pei Hei remains Chodosh until it is until it becomes Yoshon. And it only becomes Yoshon by the day of the Omer next year, Tovshi and Pei Vov. It applies to the five. Well, so then there's a question of, what about Chutz Loretz? What about Bizman HaMikdosh or Shelo Bizman HaMikdosh? And what about if a field belongs to a Goy in Eretz Yisrael, or a field belongs to a Yid in Chutz Loretz? Those are the things that we'll look at next week, because Baruch Hashem, our speaker has arrived. Torahway, Northwest London, Chof Zayin Nisan, the 25th of April, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parsha Shmini, Rabbi Dudi Lukna Shlita, on the subject of
Parsha.
The Parsha.
Pashus the Olam, Shkoyach inviting me, Shkoyach waiting for me. I'd like to start with Erev Shabbos, so can't not speak about the parasha. I'd like to start with the horror from the parasha, and then I'd like to move into one Indian of the Sefer Soma, and try and link it all together. So this week's Sedra, Parasha Shemini, the end of the parasha deals with all the halachas of the tome animals, the Torah animals, all the different types of animals, right? The kosher, what's kosher, what's not kosher? Zoyish Torah Sebehema, as the parish finishes off, all the various halachas of the animals. Next week's parish, Tazria, Ishuki Tazria, That's all the halachas of the tum and tara of an odom, starting with the lady of an isha, and of course all the intricate halachas of taras. So this week's sedra deals with tum and tara by behemoth. Next week's sedra deals with tum and tara of an odom. So Rashi next week's sedra brings down the medrash, Omrev Simla, K'shem Shizirosei Shel Odom. Just as we find in Ma'aseh Bereishis, so of course the creation of the fish and the animals, day 5 and day 6, that preceded the creation of man. So too, so too, when it comes to the halachos, the tum and tahara of behemah, tum and tahara of people, so too the halachos of the animals. Comes this week, Sedra, Parashat Shemini, and only next week, only later, is the halachas of tum and tahara of a person. So the kash is asked, the Maral Gur Arei asks, that what's pshat? Why is it that the creation of animals came first in Ma'aseh Bereishis? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Ches, gives us a few reasons as to why the creation of animals preceded the creation of man. One reason the Gemara says is because if a person starts feeling haughty, he starts feeling good of himself. So if a person should remember that even a small gnat, even a small insect, everything was created before him. Don't think so highly of yourself. Be humble because you are last in creation. Other reasons the Gemara gives is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam to come into a mitzvah straight away, come into Shabbos. Another reason the Gemara says is because Hashem wanted the whole world to be ready, that when Adam comes, he can enjoy and use the world straight away. So whatever the reasons are, l'chayra, all these reasons explain why the creation of animals came before the creation of people. But when it comes to the halachos, l'chayra, there's no shaychus. You're going to say a person should feel haughty? Well, why does that make a difference where the halachos come? A person should come into Shabbos straight away? A person should have the world ready for him? None of these reasons explain why, when it comes to the tum and tahara of a person, that comes after the tum and tahara of an animal. So what's pshat in this medrash? Kishem, I understand why the creation of animals come before people, but why does that explain why the halachos of the tum and tahara of a person come afterwards? So I'd like to park that kasha for the moment, and I'd like to get into an inyan of the Sfiras Omer, and then Mitzvah Shem will come back and miyashav the kasha. So Sfiras Omer, I'm sure lots has been said already, so I'd like to just take one aspect of the Sfiras Omer. When it comes to the Sfiras Omer, so Sfiras Omer is the bridge, right? The bridge between Pesach and Shavuos. Pesach, we became free, Zmanachir Yoseinu. But obviously, we're not free just to do our own things and do what we want. Rather, we're on our way to Mekabel HaTorah. And the Sfiras Omer is that bridge getting us to Kabbalas HaTorah. And like the Chinuch speaks out, the idea behind the Sfiras Omer, counting, what's the idea of counting? The idea of counting is that just like you have a countdown to something that you very much want and you very much right, a countdown to a simcha, whatever it is. So too, we count towards the Torah. It shows our love for the Torah, how much we love it, and it's to engender within us and build up a certain ava. Why are we counting up? Why are we not counting down? Okay, all these are shailas that are discussed. But that's Pashto's idea of the Sfiras Omer. But there's another interesting thing, and that's really in the name itself. Sefiras ha'omer, the counting of the omer. What was this omer? So you look in the Pesukim in Parashas Emor, and it's seemingly quite strange. And those of us that say that the Shem Yichud also sticks out. The Pasuk says when it comes to Sefiras ha'omer, so Ustraitim Rachem, Memochas HaShabbos, you start counting Memochas HaShabbos, you know, from the day after, not Shabbos, rather the day after Yom Tov. From when does the count begin? The count begins from the day you begin to bring the Omer. Right, the Korban Omer was bought day after Pesach. And from that day you bring the Omer, you start counting. That's in the names. Sfiras HaOmer, we're counting the Omer. And when do you count till? The next pasuk hashavias. You count until the day after 7 weeks, day 50. Tisbu chamisham yom, and then the krafta minucha chadosh al Hashem, and then you bring a minucha chadosh al Hashem, which is the first korban brought from the wheat. That's the shtei alechem on Shavuos. So this is a horror I saw from Rashi Kushlevsky Shlita. That it's very interesting that it seems to me that the pesukim make a whole asik out of the kodshim, out of the karbonis brought. When Sfiras Oimer, it's not just from Pesach till Shavuos, no. There's not really a mention of Pesach and Shavuos. The Sfiras Oimer begins, it's Me'im Aviyachem, it's Imatanuf, it starts from the Korban Oimer, that's when it starts, and it ends with a Menucha Chadosha. And seemingly very strange, right? Pashtas, as we said, the Sfiras Oimer bridges us from Pesach, Zman Chayu Yaseinu, till Shavuos, Matan Tor Yaseinu. Why is the Torah being Torah, the whole sphere, the ganze sphere is Torah on the Karbonis? It's from the Omer to the Menucha Chadosha. Pashtas, the Karbon Omer and the Shtei Alechem are merely pure side aspects of the Yom Tov, right? Like the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us, why during the Omer on Pesach? Because since on Pesach the world is judged for Tavuas, you bring a Karbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we should get a good judgment for Tavua. And similarly on Shavuos, it's the Din of Peyus, so you bring another Korban, but they're just side aspects. The Ikka is the Pesach and the Shavuot. It's like saying we count from the Matzah till the cheesecake. What's this got to do? What's the sphere got to do with the Korbanos? Going from the Omer until the Mincha Chadosha. That's one Kasha on Sfiras Omer. Another kasha we can ask, this v'kraft minucha chadosha l'Hashem. Shavuos, we bring a minucha chadosha, we bring the Shtei Alechem. Now, this Shtei Alechem was quite unique because it says in Vayikra that generally, chomets, we don't have, there's no chomets brought on the Mizbeach, right? Kichol so v'chol davash le'sektiru, you don't bring any so, no davash, right? The chomets doesn't come into the Mizbeach. And suddenly Shavuos, Shtei Alechem, now Shtei Alechem was one of the exceptions, we bring chomets. And it's interesting because Pesach, we dafka got rid of all the chomets, right? Chomets, as the Sfarim bring down, it represents the Yetzer Hara, so Shavu Isa, we're finally broken free from the chomets. Okay, we can't live a whole year like that, a whole year of matzah might be a bit hard. But to make a whole ace kata out of it on Shavuos, dafka, the unique korban is going to be the korban of chomets. Very interesting, the whole year we don't, and Pesach, we finally broke free of the chomets, and now on Shavuos, we bring chomets? Very strange. What's the idea of chomets on Shavuos? That's the second kasha. And the last kasha is a halacha to do with every Yom Tov, in particular Shavuos. We know that on Yom Tov, the Gemara asks, clears, how should one spend one's Yom Tov? Should one spend it Lashem? Should one spend Yom Tov involved in Lashem in Yonim, or should one spend Yom Tov Lochem? They say a story in one of the Rebbes when it came to Shavuos. Shavuos night, they were learning all night long. It was, you know, if you know Israel, it's much longer than England. Then all night learning, and then there was a Shachris, and Israel obviously. So there's only one day, so you do Rus on the first day, a very long Shachris, and finally after about 10 hours or more of being Oisik and Torah and Tefillah. So the Rebbe says, that was such a geshmak lochem. Now I've got to do my Hashem. I've got to have my Suddah. Hashem wants me to have a Suddah. I've got to do my Hashem now. So, but Al-Kaponim, the Gemara talks about, should one spend on Yom Tov lochem or Hashem? And the Gemara brings a bit of a machlokes. Should it be kulei Hashem? Should it be kulei lochem? But the Gemara in Pesachim says, when it comes to Shavuos, kulei al mamoidim debu'in lo lochem. When it comes to Shavuos, then everyone agrees, although maybe other Yom Tovim, some opinions hold, you can spend it purely engaged in Torah and Tefillah, and you don't need to get involved in Lochem. On Shavuos, everyone agrees, you have to have Lochem. Why, says the Gemara? Because Shavuos was the time where we got the Torah, and since we got the Torah on Shavuos, so here you have to have Lochem. And the Kasha is boiled. The Kasha is, that I don't understand. If anything, on the contrary, right? Shavuos, Pesach and Sukkos, I can hear that's a certain celebration of a physicality. We became free, and Ani Akovod, they understand Lochem may come in. Shavuos, which is purely Matan Torah Seinu, which is purely about Torah, Lochem there, it makes sense not to have Lochem. And the Gemara says, no, Dafka, because you got the Torah, now it makes sense to have Lochem. How does that fit in? So three kashas on Sfiras Omer stroke Shavuos. Number one is, what's this whole idea of counting from the Korban Sfiras Omer, counting the Omer? What's the idea of counting from the Korban Omer to the Mincha Chadasha? Number two, why do we make an Inyan Dafka of Chomets and Shavuos? On Pesach we finally broke free, and now Shavuos we're bringing it back in. Seems like what we're doing. And thirdly, what's Pshat and Shavuos? That Dafka and Shavuos, when we've got the Torah, the Gemara says you have to have Lochem. On the contrary, if we've got the Torah, this should be the one Yom Tov where you shouldn't have Lochem. So there's a Yesod, which is spoken out. One would find it in the Maharal, and Tverish Shtrol speaks about it. Rebbe Lopshin and Levi Eliyahu in Parashat Emor also has a piece about it. And let's maybe start with the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Baryosi Yetzara, Baryosi Torah Tavlin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created the Yetzara, and what's the antidote? What's the answer to the Yetzara? Torah. And the Gemara says, V'samtem. The Gemara directions that Torah is a sum. The Gemara gives a moshul. The Gemara says that if a person gets a wound and he's got to be careful what he does because he's got this certain illness. So the Gemara says the doctor gives him a bandage, and the doctor says, Kol's when you have this bandage, you can enjoy, you can eat what you want, you can wash in what you want, you're good to go. But the moment you take the bandage off, you've got to be very careful. Then you've got to be very careful. This bandage will allow you to live a normal life. Without the bandage, then you've got to stay away. Says the Gemara, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam Hazeh with all the Gashmius and all the various pitfalls that the world has to offer. And Kolzman, there's no Torah, says the Gemara, it's a very dangerous world. The person's treading a very fine line, because to get too much involved in Gashmius and it's going to pull him down, it's going to distract him, it's not going to be good. However, once a person has the Torah is that bandage. When a person has the Torah, and the Torah Akadosha tells a person exactly how to live his life, what he can do, what he can't do, when he may eat, when he can't eat, v'chole v'chole. When a person has the Torah, then he can relax a bit, and then with the Torah, it's okay to be Isaac in this world. Because the Torah governs you exactly where, what you can do, what you can't do, and are you the Torah, you're going to be okay to be Isaac in this world. That's the Gemara. So that's the Gemara. So again, so Olam Hazeh without Torah is a very dangerous world. But through the Torah, when a person has the Torah, so then it's okay to be Isaac in this world. The Torah will protect him from the various pitfalls. So they want to say, let's go back to some of our kashas. They want to say that Dafkana, when it comes to Shavuos, which is Man Matan Torah Seinu, now is the time we can celebrate Lochem. Now is the time we can celebrate Olam Hazeh, we can celebrate Gashmius. Without Torah, to be involved in Lochem is very dangerous, and you're treading a fine line. But now we've got the Torah in Shavuos. So you're going to be okay. And now is when we then need to shy away from Lochem. We can celebrate Lochem. Also, that explains why on Pesach there's no chometz is a no-no, whereas on Shavuos we make a thing out of chometz, and that's because on Pesach when we became free Zman Chir Yaseinu, so yeah, we became free, but we didn't yet have the Torah. We were very, as the at Erem Ve'Eria, right? We barely had any mitzvahs. Okay, we had Pesach, we didn't have any mitzvahs. So therefore, on Pesach we didn't have the Torah, and we're free. We've got to be very careful. No chometz. Let's stay well clear of the Yetzara. Let's stay well clear of chometz, because without any mitzvahs, it's not worth the risk. But once we've been through that, once now we've got Tarsina and we've been mekabel the Torah. So now that we've got the Torah, so now we can suddenly bring back the chometz, because now that we have the Torah, so now we can engage in this world, because the Torah is going to be that bandage that will protect us from any dangers that the any danger from any dangers that otherwise this world would have caused us. So that's one level. So again, what's the idea? The idea is that Olam Hazeh is a dangerous place, and to be involved in Gashmus is very risky. By the day of the Torah, you're going to be protected, you're going to be okay. But I think we can take a level even further. If we go back to the Gemara says, Barosi Yetzara, Barosi Torah Tavlin. The Torah is the Tavlin to the Yetzara. What does Tavlin mean? So Tavlin, Pashto's Tavlin is a spice, right? If Torah was just a preventative, in other words, Olam Hazeh is dangerous, but Torah says that it's going to protect you from all the bad things that this world has to offer, then I wouldn't quite call it Tavlin. It would be, okay, it's a shield, it's protection. Tavlin seems more than that. Tavlin is, what does Tavlin do? When you put Tavlin into a food, so other rabbi, it brings out the flavor of the food. It makes the food more geschmack. It doesn't just protect, it enhances. So there's a Shem Shmuel in Parashas Balak who says an amazing thing. The Shem Shmuel says, we know that when it comes to the luchos, the pasuk tells us, choros ala luchos, right? What were the luchos? The luchos were stone, and the aseres adibros were choros ala luchos. The aseres adibros were engraved onto the luchos, right? They were engraved, the writing was etched into the stone. And like the Gemara says, that there was a Gebalde Ganes, that the writing was etched in all the way through, and even so, the letters were Tulein Va'omzin, but Al-Kabodim was etched in. So as the Shem Shmuel, what's this idea of the letters being etched into the Luchos? Right? Why can't it be a half stone, and then you paint, right? You paint the letters on. What's this idea of Dafke engraving in? Says the Shem Shmuel Gebalde, because as the Shem Shmuel, that the Eben represents Gashmius, represents Olam Hazeh. That's Eben. The letters, the oishes of the Torah, that's Torah, and that's Ruchni. A person may think that when it comes to Ruchnius, when it comes to Gashmius, they're two different things. Okay, so we have to live in this world, but in as much as one can, one has to stay away from all the Gashmius. Just being involved in as minimum as possible, and do as much ruchni as you can. And be'etzem, they're opposites, and one can't involve himself in gashmius. The idea, says the Shem Shmuel, of the oishes being choros ala luchos, the idea is that the message is that when the letters are choros into the stone, so that now the letters are in the stone itself, right? If you have the letters painted onto the stone, so then, but there's two different things. There's the paint and there's the stone. Now that the letters are etched into the stone, so the stone is the letters. The letters and the stone is Hainuach. It's the same thing. So says the Shem Shmuel, the idea is that it's not a person should stay away from Olam Hazeh. Yes, it's dangerous, and yes, a person shouldn't get too sunken in, but a person should involve himself in Olam Hazeh, and a person, obviously to a limit, the Olam Hazeh is the way to do the mitzvahs. So that's the idea. The oishes just go into the stone because the Torah goes into Olam Hazeh. A person shouldn't shy away from this world. A person should get involved in this world, and by doing the right thing, and he's male the Gashmius, the Gashmius becomes a gutzach. It's good. Now the stone becomes ruchnius. So the letters being etched in, that shows that the Gashmius and the ruchnius is the same thing, and a person has to use the Gashmius to bring out to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, with that we can understand, Barosi Yetzirah, Barosi Torah Tavlin, is that there's a Yetzirah, but how do you, we don't just want to shy away from the Yetzirah is Gashmius, it's Olam Hazeh, we don't just want to shy away from the Yetzirah. The Torah is the Tavlin, and the Torah brings out the best in the Yetzirah. A person can take all the temptations and all the desires the world has to offer, and being involved in the right way, a person will bring out the best in the Yetzirah. L'chorah, that's the pshat, what we say every day. What's b'chol levavcha? You serve Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Yetzer HaTov and your Yetzer Hara. How do you serve Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Yetzer Hara? The answer is that when a person gets involved in Olam Hazeh and he doesn't shy away and he gets involved to the right limit with what the Torah says in Olam Hazeh, so then that's using the various hanos the world has to offer and using that to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So So if that's the case, so it's not just the Torah is a preventative, rather, lochem, now it's very muvan, lochem, because now is the time where not just we are protected from lochem, but we're going to use lochem to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And also that's why there's chometz on Shavuos. What's the idea? We said that the Sefiras Omer, you go from the Korban Omer to the Mincha Chadasha. So what's the Korban Omer? The Korban Omer is the barley Korban, right? Barley. What's barley? Barley is Meichel Behema. So when it comes to Pesach, we want to abstain from Gashmias as much as possible. And we go for the very minimum Gashmias. That's Meichel Behema. That's the Sa'orim. But when we go through the various stages, the 49 days, and we build up and we build up, and now we're waiting for the Torah, so now Chitim is the Spitz. Olam Hazeh, that's the Meichel Adam, and now that we've got to Shavuos, yeah, we can enjoy this world to the fullest as long as it's governed by the Torah. So we've gone from the Omer, where we have to be very careful and shy away as much as we can from Olam Hazeh, all the way to Shavuos, where we can enjoy Olam Hazeh al Yedei the Torah. And just to go back to our original Kasha. The Gemara says, we said that shame that the creation of man was last, so too the halachas of man is last. What's the idea? So I saw Gvald Gvor and Bar Yosef, he brings down, there's another reason why the creation of man comes after the creation of animals. And what's that? So he brings down the Nefesh HaChaim, brings down a Zohar that says that, let's say like this, what's Pshat, when it comes to the Tumah Tara of animals, this week's Parsha, so Tumah Tara of animals, there's tumma, there's tara, but let's say the tumma of animals. It's not how much is the tumma of animals. It's not so much, right? Like the pasuk says, the person touches an avodah, whatever it is. Okay, it's till that day, and then that's it. When it comes to the tumma of adam, it's much more chomer. Sometimes you have to have the parah aduma, and you can have tumma of shiva. There's much more of a chomer of tumma by adam. And secondly, adam can switch. Sometimes the person can be tomei, and then he can be toy. An animal is either tomei or always toy. An animal never changes. See, so the Zohar says that because when a Kodesh Baruch Hu created the whole world, so he took all the world has to offer, all the various koichas atuma, all the various koichas atara, and he put that into Adam. And a person has the potential to either go down all the way or to go up all the way, either to go to the extreme tuma or to go to the extreme tara. So that's why the creation of animals came first, because there's Olam Hazeh, and all of Olam Hazeh he put into Adam. And a person can use either Olam Hazeh for the good, for the Tov, for Tara, or we can use it for bad. That's why creation of man was last. If that's the case, it's very Muban. Just like the creation of man is last, but so too the halachas are last, because Hogufa, all the tumas and taras that the animals have, well, a person has all of that combined, and a person can take it to the extreme, either all one way or all the other way. That's why the lochas of tumah tara of a person is second. And the idea is, and something to think about during this tikkun of Sefiras Omer, is that we have to not shy away from this world. Adarabah, let's see what the Torah has to say and use this world. Use it for the good, and then Bezras Hashem, we should be, and then by doing that, we'll bring out the tahara, bring out the tov, and then Mitzvah Hashem, we can enjoy Orachem, enjoy chometz. Yeah, Shkoyach, good Shabbos.
Hi.
Yeah.
All right, so we have here this book. The Indian of the Bahamas and the Chayas, but there's also a sad chapter to the end of the Miluim here in Shmini, which is the entrance of Nudav Avihu into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when they came and they were Makiv Ketoiras, and that put a dampening effect. It says V'taytzei Eish Melifnei Hashem, but the reason was because they went by Yesimu Oleu Keteros Ve'akriv Lifnei Hashem. This is the two sons of Aharon, Nudov and Avihu, and they made Eish Zuru Asher Loitzivu Oysom. There was in Poland a very great man called Rapinche of Pilz, probably known more famously for a cipher called Sifse Tzadik. The Pinche was a Poilishiyas, a Guan Oilem. He was also the son of the brother of the Chedesherim. And when the Sfasemes took on the mantle of the Rabistev of Ger, then Reb Pinche, who was far senior, was not a chuset, so to speak, because he was older and more senior, and he remembered his uncle, the Shirim, still. And on the basis of that, he sort of watched to see and observed how the chassidim were traveling. And on one occasion that they came back, so he asked them, which was actually Pasha Shmini, "Did you go to the Rebbe?" So he said, "Yes." "Aha, gezug teure?" "Ja." So he asked them to repeat the teure. And they said, that Sfasema said at the Tish the following thought: when a person performs a mitzvah, he is l'cha'oire mezdabik with the Rebbein Shlolem. He attaches himself in any way as much as we can perceive, because the Rebbein Shlolem is l'cha'esh oichlo. He's a consuming fire. How could the person attach himself kav yuchel to the Eibishter? But the word mitzvah essentially means tzafse, which means attachment, heftenish. And therefore, the attachment is through the kiyum mitzvah. When he performs that mitzvah, he essentially leaves the constraints of the body, and he is now in a spiritual realm, as we spoke about before. And in the sequence of events, l'cha'oire, he should be departing this world entirely, because what place has the body got when a person is oisik in such a spiritual experience as a kiyum of a mitzvah, which the mitzvah is pure rochni? But there's a protection there that stops that happening. And the protection is the mitzvah itself. Because the Rebbein Shlalem said in the Torah that these are the mitzvahs asher yaseh u'udom v'chai bohem, which means that he's got a guarantee, notwithstanding that he is oisik in something which is so purely spiritual, nonetheless, he will not depart, so to speak, from this world in the pursuit of the mitzvah. Agam, he is attaching himself to the Rebbein Shlalem, but Abraham, he's going to live on, because that's the protection of the mitzvah, which is Meigeni Matzil. That works as long as it's a mitzvah. But in the case of Nudav and Avihu, they went into to make the Keteres, and the Torah underlines something very, very important, because it says there, Vayitnu Bohem Eish, Vayisimu Oleu Keteres, and then you've got this famous Mecho Kefilo, Ashe Loi Tzivu Oisa. They were not commanded. And therefore the pursuit of attaching yourselves in a sublime way, in a very celestial way to the Rebbein Shalom, so to speak, with Akruvas Akteres, which was supposed to be a vehicle to bring them even closer to the Eibishter, but it was not commanded. Ashe Loitzivu does not give them that protection that they needed, which would essentially be the, what we speak about, the Megen Imatzel of a person being Mekayim a mitzvah with Vuchai Bohem, that the Vuchai Bohem can actually protect him from departing. And consequently, this was the outcome of them being Mizdabek with Rebbein Shlalem through the vehicle of Ktoires, because there was nothing to hold them back. And therefore, Asher Lutzivu Oysom, no protection, no guarantee. Up they went. Now, Pilzer heard this Torah. He's listening to it from the Chassidim. Then he says, "I know this young man," referring to the Sfasemes, "long enough, as er sucht nicht kan teure, was er halt nicht bei der Bar," which means he does not repeat and say teures which he himself does not relate to. So essentially that means that he felt that the Sfasemus was saying something that in his Kiyum HaMitzvah he is on that darga, so to speak, that he is so attached to the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a sublime way. If that's the case, it's time for us old men to submit ourselves. And he picked up his bags, took a coach, and he said, Ich fu och kan ge. And he started to make his first nasiyah towards the Sfasemus. Agit Shabbos.
So young.